May I speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Last week, Bishop John gave a sermon which struck a chord with a number of people. In that sermon, he repeated the refrain, "Don't give up on the kingdom of God." And I'm going to pick up right from that point. Why would anyone need to say that? Don't give up on the kingdom of God. Well, it can be discouraging in the real world. Things are tough out there. The news from all around the world is difficult, even if most of it doesn't affect us directly. Most of the issues that we see, the most problematic, are happening somewhere else, often far away. There is a risk of those problems spreading, of course, but most of us day to day are not directly affected. But we're watching and waiting for the moment when we will be affected. And probably more than that, we want to do something about the problems that are happening wherever they are. And it is frustrating to feel powerless. It is heartbreaking to see terrible things happening in the world, and that heartbreak is made even worse when we are forced to grapple with the reality that there is nothing we can do to make it better. We can't solve climate change. We can't fix Gaza or Minnesota or Ukraine. We are just regular people, not rulers, governments, policymakers. Well, I'm not anyway. I mean, it is Ottawa. There are some influential people, maybe even in this room. I shouldn't speak for all of you. Jesus' audience in that Sermon on the Mount was like that too, powerless. Jesus didn't have an audience with the king or the emperor. Jesus wasn't invited to give his sermon in the council chambers of the rulers. He didn't have the ear of the military leaders. The people who gathered to hear Jesus speak were the ones like us, most of us anyway, who did not have the capacity to influence big changes. And the people in Jesus' time had it tough too, and their problems were not just far away. The people who came to hear Jesus speak were looking for a better way, for something that they could hope in for the future. They wanted a revolutionary maybe to follow, someone who would lead them in a revolt against the powers that be. They were itching to make things different, make things better, especially since they knew they couldn't do it on their own. But with the right leader and a strong enough movement, perhaps they could bring about the changes they desired. And as much as they had hope for a better world, there were probably more than a few of them who were beaten down, discouraged, dejected, hopeless. They had been striving and working and trying to make their corner of the world better, but didn't seem to be seeing any progress. They didn't think that their efforts made any difference. Just as Bishop John repeated last week, Jesus was encouraging them as well. Don't give up on the kingdom of God. The introduction to the sermon that Jesus gives is what we call the Beatitudes, which we heard today. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted, and so on. It's important that we recognize that this is only the beginning of Jesus' sermon, and that sermon takes up most of 3 chapters. He has a lot to say. And he needs to get their attention right at the very beginning. So what does he say? Not, hear ye, but blessed are those who are having a hard time right now. Blessed are you here in my audience right now, for whom things have not been going well. You have been striving for peace. You have hungered and thirsted for righteousness. But it hasn't been working. you are blessed. We have to be careful here, since Jesus promises things that will happen: inheriting the earth, being filled with righteousness, having the kingdom of God. We might be tempted to think that this is a list of requirements, that Jesus is setting out the conditions we must fulfill. If you want to be comforted, then you have to mourn. If you want to see God, then you must be pure in heart. If you want to inherit the earth, then you must be meek. But that's not what he's getting at. He is not encouraging his audience, especially at the very beginning of this long sermon, to go out and be meek, to try to be persecuted for righteousness' sake in order to get a reward of some kind. Instead, Jesus is recognizing them for who they are, what they have already been doing. Blessed are you when others revile and persecute you. I see you. It has been hard on you, but you're here now. Blessings upon you. And since you are here, here is my message. Stay the course. Don't give up on the kingdom of God. That's how Jesus starts this long sermon. That's how he connects with his audience. Don't give up. I know it's been tough for you, but keep at it. Good things are coming. Don't give up on the kingdom of God. As Paul reminds his Corinthian audience, not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. What is true for the Corinthians is true for Jesus' audience, and probably us too. Jesus isn't speaking to us because we are influencers or policymakers or vested with power. Instead, God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. This was not an accident. The message of Jesus didn't go to the regular people in the world in his time or today because Jesus couldn't get an audience with the king. We are not Jesus' second choice for who he wanted to share the good news with. Jesus wasn't trying to influence or convert the people in the world who had power and money and status. God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. God doesn't rely on the same human institutions and systems that we do. God's plan is bigger. God is bigger. But why and how us? It seems like if God wanted the war in Ukraine to end, the person to influence would be Putin, directly. If God wanted Canada to have a trade deal with the U.S. without tariffs, the person to influence would be Trump. Why bother messing around with the little people? Why not go straight to the source, the powerful, the influencers, those with status? What can we do to bring about God's kingdom? And that's how Jesus started his sermon, speaking directly to those people who, despite the hardships, despite their discouragement at the lack of progress, had not given up. They were still merciful, still pure in heart, still hungering for righteousness. They had not given up on the kingdom of God. You, Jesus told them, are blessed. Keep up the good work. Many of us know how frustrating it can be to try to change the things that are beyond our control. We pray, we fast, we sacrifice. And as we heard in the book of Micah, when things aren't going well, we may even look to drastic measures to try to bring about the change we seek. We have a hard time accepting that it is beyond our control. The character in the passage from Micah proposes an increasing list of sacrifices to try to get God back on their side, accelerating from burnt offerings to calves, to thousands of rams, to rivers of oil, increasing even to their own children or their own body. Some of us can sympathize with that frustration. What do I need to do, God, to make things right, to bring about your kingdom on earth? What do you need me to give? Just tell me. I'll do it. But God's response comes in a much-loved verse, Micah 6:8. He has told you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? Or, in other words, keep at it. Keep doing what you're doing, even if it doesn't seem to be making a difference. Don't give up. Don't give up on the kingdom of God. We may not see the impact our actions make. We may get discouraged, thinking that we don't have the power to enact big changes, to bring about an end to suffering or war. But we have our marching orders from God. Stay the course. You are on the right track. Focus on the things that you can influence: justice, kindness, mercy, and continue to walk with God. You are changing more than you know. Don't give up on the kingdom of God.